superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Did Baker Mayfield see a UFO? I'm really wondering.
Apparently he did.
Or he and his wife. Mr. and Mrs. Mayfield driving along, are they in Oklahoma or is it Ohio?
I don't know where where it was. They might live here. I don't know.
I think it was in his tweet.
Oh, so he said, almost 100% am his wife, and I just saw a UFO drop straight out of the sky.
It's a reservoir in Texas.
On our way home from dinner. We stopped and looked at each other and asked if either of us saw it. Very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky towards Lake Travis. Anybody else witness this?
And what are the responses? Are the responses mostly people who are wondering if they did in fact see the same thing, or is it just lockstep in a completely different direction from
this
tweet?
It's kind of a different direction.
What's the direction that it's in, Chris? What's the direction that it's in?
A lot of people doing fake Colin Coward takes.
A lot of good memes on his responses.
Because, you know, you don't want your quarterbacks talking about UFOs in the offseason.
Right. You want them in the film room no UFOs in the film room. Right. Tom Brady's not seeing
UFOs. What would
you
rather have from your quarterback, though? Him seeing aliens or him seeing ghosts?
Oh, yeah.
Great question.
Which one?
Aliens.
Good question.
On behalf of the team that took the quarterback after Baker Mayfield?
Seeing ghosts.
I'd rather your quarterback see aliens than ghosts.
Also, a lot of people adding their own
UFO.
Great poll
question. Great poll question. What would you rather your quarterback see, aliens or ghosts?
Great question.
That's right. So let's just say this.
Sound like a barge.
If Baker Mayfield is not on the field, okay, because then he's or if let's just put it this way, if Baker Mayfield is now making towers out of mashed potatoes instead of preparing for the 2021 season.
Heading to Devil's Tower.
Then he's seen an alien. Okay. Then he's heading right. He's pointing to the alien right now. That's it. Right in the sky. Well done, Don Bowie. There it is. He's pointing to the alien. Or
aliens are ghosts.
There. Yes. I would rather have a quarterback see aliens.
At Rich Eisen Show, aliens or ghosts?
Aliens or ghosts.
What would you rather your quarterback see? Yeah. Aliens or ghosts?
Yeah.
No question. Aliens is going to win 80 to 20%.
Well, there's one alien you really don't want to see, the actual alien monster, because that will kill you.
That's true. With a ghost, ghost.
Game over, man.
Game over, man. We're finished.
It could be Casper. It's a friendly ghost.
It could be a friendly ghost, though.
Rich, right out of the gate, 80-20 aliens.
80-20 aliens, no question.
Right out of the gate.
Again,
early results.
One quarterback that sees aliens has won a playoff game. The other one who has seen ghosts, the general manager is taking offers on right now. I think that just sums it all up for you now.
Don and I were workshopping an actual poll question.
But Baker Mayfield knows. Baker Mayfield knows when he hits send that it's going to create an absolute dumpster fire.
I think,
but he was. I'm sure
he maybe did. They maybe did actually see that, but he also knows.
I absolutely think they saw something, and absolutely think
he's gonna. I'll just mess with some.
I don't think he's messing with anything. Almost 100% is the way this tweet starts, which is already not entirely accurate. So that make it about 95%, 90%. It just sounds to me as well like. His wife said, "You got to put it on Twitter. Go out on Twitter. We
just tweet it out
because she was probably freaked out.
Yeah, what if somebody else saw something?
Right. You've got to use your platform here. And Baker knows as he's hovering over the send button, like, oh, this is gonna. I mean, the locker room. I know I'm gonna hear it from my guys. I know I'm gonna see a bunch of memes of Colin Coward saying that I'm a terrible quarterback because I'm seeing aliens right now.
he'd have an ET life-size doll in his locker if I was part of that team.
Is that, you know what I mean? Like it's coming. Get him a he knows it's going to happen.
Signs, phone home. You know, oh, it'd be all
in
done.
Stadiums. There's going to be signs. Phone the hecklers. Home.
There is a lot of people who have been seeing UFOs lately, though, guys, or something that they believe.
Oh, I mean, if we're going down this territory,
I mean, literally, in the last two, three months, I've seen an uptake on this.
I will say this into the microphone here on the Rich Eisen Show. I will say we are not alone. That's a fact.
Come on, yeah.
We are not alone. You know, period.
You believe in aliens?
Hell yeah.
Whoa.
Ooh. Absolutely.
It's a big world. It's a big universe out there, man.
You know, if Baker Mayfield shows up next year looking like he's wearing a Baker Mayfield skin outfit, all right? And then, right? And then suddenly... Suddenly nobody in Cleveland remembers the 2020 season ever happened, then he's seen an alien.
And then
by the way, outstanding. Look who's in the X-Files photograph right there. Look at that. That's Baker.
Can you send me that so I can put that under this poll?
Del Tufo has literally 19,000 drops. I think Jerry Jones, he is the leader in our drops department, right? We have more Jerry 100%. Jones drops over the seven-year history of this show. No, we don't have to
I could
have
made more. I mean,
no, but you remember, you remember when we first started in NFL Network, when Parcells was the coach and his press conferences were must-see. Like, we would have a whole section.
Yes.
I think he spoke on a Wednesday or Tuesday, whichever day it was. We had a segment called Fresh Tuna.
Yeah.
Where we would take the four best minutes of his. Because his press conference is around 2003.
Well, he would sit at that little table.
Yeah, sit at a table.
Yeah, that round, like.
And it was the only thing you could equate it to was a Sopranos episode. The New Jersey boss.
Right.
Talking about his innermost thoughts and his innermost feelings. And the media and all of us were Dr. Melfi. And because the Sopranos, as you know, came on the air in 99 and 03. Right. I think they were just getting into season three, you know.
Right in the middle.
No, I wouldn't, you know, should have been like season five, but they took a year and a half off all the time.
Yeah.
And so at any rate, so that was must see. And now Jerry's kind of morphed into that. So this is out of all the sound bites, and there were some great sound bites when he was introducing Dak as his newly long-term signed franchise quarterback. This is the one that leapt out at all of us. I think all of us together on a text exchange were saying, he said this? Okay, hit it.
The truth is, most anything that I've ever been involved in that ended up being special, I overpaid for every time. To the end. Anytime I've tried to get a bargain, I got just that. It was a bargain in a lot of ways and not up to standard.
So how do you take this? That so there's two things. Is that he's admitting he's been had. As a matter of fact, he in another soundbite later on said that out of all the people that have worked him in a business deal, I'm paraphrasing, that he's happiest to have been worked by, it was Dak Prescott. So you're sitting here as a fan of the team and you're kind of like, not many general managers or people who shop for the groceries for a team and sign players will fully admit, yeah, I've been had. You know, not a great deal for us, except for the fact that we do have a player who we adore and we love and we think we can win with and all of that. That's great. But how many general managers come out and say, yeah, we could have done this a couple years ago, maybe. It might have been cheaper for us. But he's the only general manager who actually signs the checks. So there's that. And that gives you, TJ Jefferson, Dallas Cowboy fan, maybe a little bit of pause saying, what's he going to do to protect Dak? Because that's necessary. Mm-hmm. What's he going to do to make sure that if Zeke and Amari Cooper are, in fact, hitting their prime years, which they are, they get to stay, that we're not going to be sitting here 2 years from now on the new league year of 2023 talking about Zeke's been cut or Amari's going to be cut or something like that. You mean you got to keep this core together and you got to play defense. My God, you got to play defense. Look at what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just did, you know? And they got the GOAT at quarterback, and they had some outstanding weapons for the GOAT at quarterback. got to play defense. You got to make sure that Dak doesn't have to come back from 25 points, 29, 20, 34 points down like he did in virtually every game before his leg snapped in two. What is he the right guy to do it? And the question is, if the answer is no, and I bet you 9 out of 10 Cowboys fans will say no, too bad. That's the way he's going to run his team. That's it. So that's one way that gives you pause. And then the other one, like, what if you're Dak? Again, as you know, we're a happy family here. We're a happy family here. What if, you know, I said to you, Chris, I think we could put Emmy Award-winning shows together for you. With you.
Absolutely.
With you. I need you. I need you here to put. Yep. But everything that I'm saying right now indicates that your talent is worth less than the money that I was forced to overpay you.
There is less pie.
What? How would you take that one?
I don't know if that's going to sit well.
How would you take that one?
That was so confusing.
I was like, what I just said? Or
no,
what
he said. It's like, I think he was trying to be complimentary.
Now you have. He is, because he absolutely is.
He's not go higher register.
No. Yeah, you have to go higher. He absolutely is being complimentary. You have to understand where he's coming from. He's coming from a man who's got all the money.
All of it. All the money.
Okay. And he's also coming from a man who makes business deals. And the business deals that he has made have been phenomenal to get him to be able to afford the Dallas Cowboys and overpay for them. Mm-hmm. And then to eventually, I'm telling you, the business that he runs with the Yankees to, I mean, many people out there, if you've paid for a public seat license or you go to a stadium with a name that, of a corporate sponsor on the name, it's possible that he's the one who struck that deal.
Yeah.
So he's made a ton of money, and he knows the business deals, and he knows what overpaying is for. Mm-hmm. And the things that he's overpaid for are the things that he loves the most. So this is a compliment, actually.
Well, I think you could take it like, if he really wants something, I'm going to spend whatever I need to.
Whatever it is, what he says at a bargain, like, you get what you pay for. Is what he's saying. That's another way of the phrase, that you get what you pay for.
So who is he throwing under the bus there by saying
himself,
that?
I guess. It's kind of like a self-own at his own expense, but, you know, for Dak, if I'm Dak, I'm sitting there saying, okay, I now have all the money too at this position, so let's laugh it up and let's hug it out. Let's go win some football games.
Let's go.
Who's next, though, at the next level? Trent Dilfer will tell you about the prospects. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like he's talking from a billionaire, successful billionaire point of view, owner point of view. But he is, you came in yesterday, if you want to repeat what you said, you have the floor.
Sure. I was just trying to think about the right way to say it, but it just came out as like, is he the most successful bad businessman ever? Because he just overpays for everything.
I point to the fact that the Cowboys are what they're worth. Their stadium is what it is.
Right.
Okay.
And I understand that. So I guess I really should
have mentioned
just
Legends Hospitality. Yeah, that's the organization he and the Yankees co-own or co-run and make business deals around the globe.
And I get that. So I guess I should have just narrowed it down to football.
But what he is he, can he bring that business acumen to a spot and build a team in the construct of, you can't spend whatever you want. Overspending for something is dangerous. It's not bad. It's dangerous.
It can be bad.
It's dangerous. Yeah. It's risky. It's not the smartest play. It's not the smartest play.
Right.
It's a play that can be a winning one. But you can't just wait forever and then I'll just overspend on it, because that takes away from other parts of the operation that you need to have work in order for it to be ultimately successful.
Right.
So I'll say to you, like, is he the most speculative general manager of the most successful businessmen of all time? That's a small subset. Yeah, you can make that case.
Right, right.
You know? But like, I, however, will say this, and then, you know, hour two coming up. In your, using your phraseology, I am the best worst golfer of all time.
Because like, you're a fun hang.
Well, no. No, any ball that's in the fairway, I'll chunk it, right?
Right.
Any ball that's below my feet or above my feet, I'm so used to hitting out of trouble, I'm great at that. Right. I'm superb at hitting out of the rough with a ball above my feet. I'm great.
Because you're always there.
I'm always there.
Yeah.
Settle down just a little bit.
So I am the best worst golfer of all time.
That makes sense.
Meaning I'm the Jerry Jones of golf, to use your phrase. I'll take it.
Sure.
I will take it.
With a few less zeros. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's Ibotta in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. He is the Grammy Award-winning recording artist and the founder of a line of golf wear called Bogey Boys. He is Macklemore. How are you, Macklemore?
I'm doing great. How you doing, man?
I am doing fine. I've got so many questions for you. I've got so many, questions for you. Starting with the name of your golf line. Shouldn't it be Birdie Boys, Macklemore? I mean, if you want,
you know,
what do you think?
Not for my game.
Okay.
Not for my game. That happens every couple of weeks. At best. You know,
okay.
We're just trying to make bogey the new par, man. You know, par is just so challenging. But bogeys, it's kind of the new par.
I like it.
I like it.
You had me at hello there because I can't get off that bogey train, man. I think I'm perfect for your line of clothing. I am a bogey boy. I am raising my hand and saying that for sure.
Yes, yes. It is a very challenging game. And, you know, sometimes a bogey just feels like you got a birdie, man. And, yeah, this is for the golfer that wants to stand out a little bit, wants something a little bit different than what's in the pro shop, and maybe take some mulligan or two per game.
Well, I'm looking right now. You know, look, the collection's got everything from tees to socks and polos and jackets and hats, sweaters, stuff, whatnot. I'm looking at this very green get-up, I think, that you've got. Was this at the Pebble Beach? I think that's what this is what I'm looking at right now, Macklemore?
Yeah, could have been. Definitely wore some green and Pebble.
All right.
Absolutely.
And you're in a cart. Looks like you're in a one of those motorcycle carts that you're working here.
Yeah, they love to put me on that scooter. They've done it twice in a row now. They're like, hey, man, yep, you're playing. And go get on the scooter and drive down the 18th fairway, and we're going to get a bunch of hate tweets for you disrespecting the game of golf. Go ahead, turn it up.
But I'm looking, you've got backup right here in Bill Murray. That's a great photograph. What are you talking about in this picture right here with you and Bill Macklemore?
Bill is probably, you know, getting in my head, giving me a line, not there. You know, we were against each other, opposing teams, but
okay.
You know, he's a fantastic man, obviously a legend, and a pretty damn good golfer. I told him his swing is very buttery.
Hmm.
I don't know if he knew what that meant, but it was very clear to me. Just great tempo.
that's what it means to me. Buttery means that it's something that doesn't have a lot of jerky movement to it. It's just take it back and then just swing it through and then follow through. And if you could just be buttery for two damn seconds, like me, I need a shot of like Novocaine to the head. I think too much, man.
I think, me too.
You know, I just don't.
Me too.
And I'm one of those players that, you know, I don't have the setup. Like, I don't like, okay, I got to go through this. I got to put the ball on, like if I'm teeing it up, I put the ball on tee, I put the tee in the ground, and then I step back. Then I make sure this is there and that's there. I just don't do that. I just get up and I hit it. And then when I hit it, I'm like thinking what a beautiful day it is. And I'm not thinking about my next shot. I don't know if I got it. You know what I mean? That's just me.
Yeah, no, I'm overthinking for sure. There's no pre-shot routine. It changes all the time. It's a game that I have not figured out yet. Don't know if I ever will.
So what's your handicap right now, McNamore? What do you got?
I ended before, you know, the winter came, I ended it at 10-6, I want to say.
All right.
And I feel like I'm playing now more like at a 13 or 14. But, you know, yesterday was the first day that you could enter scores again up here in the Northwest. So we'll get back on it. I'm entering some local tournaments, so I would like that handicap just a little bit higher.
So when you're saying you're entering local tournaments, are you trying to be like actually competitive and start to maybe turn your attention to that a little bit?
I just want to beat Tony Romo at some point in my life. That's all.
We all do.
I just don't know if that's going to happen. I'm sorry to say, McLemore.
No, it's definitely not. That guy can actually play golf.
Who is the best musician player? Period. Like, who's the Tony Romo of music, essentially, is what I'm saying.
So I have not played with that person because everyone that I play with is around my skill level or worse. But I hear – it's so random. I mean, I hear Kenny G's good.
Okay.
I hear who's the – Alice Cooper? Yeah, Alice Cooper is like a 4 handicap.
Get out of here.
Okay. Yeah, he's completely addicted to the games, played for a long time.
Okay.
And is really, he's a stick. Besides that, I couldn't tell you who's actually good. I mean, I know Justin Timberlake's pretty good.
Yes.
But I don't think he's as good as Alice Cooper. Alice Cooper is the GOAT of musicians that play golf. Let's just put it that way.
My guy across the way here, Chris Brockman's looking this up as you're mentioning names. What do you got for me over there, Chris?
Yeah, McLemore. Kenny G's a stick. He's a 1.6.
Are you serious?
Ooh. Okay, never mind, Alice Cooper.
So Kenny's close to giving strokes back to the course, is what you're saying?
Kenny's close.
Basically saying, no thanks, I'm good.
Nah, I'm good. I'll shoot par today.
Wow. Damn, man.
Kenny.
Hey, you got something to shoot for, McLemore. No doubt about that. Bogey Boys is available exclusively on bogeyboys.com. Let's talk a little bit about the professional football team up there in the beautiful Pacific Northwest that you root for, McLemore. What is going on with Russell Wilson and your favorite football team? What's going on with that?
I knew exactly when there was just like a second pause. I was like, and now we're going to transfer into the anxiety-prone topic of Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. I feel like I need to give Russell a call at this point and get a little intel because I don't know what's going on. And yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking, man. When it first happened, I was like, Russell's balking. This isn't going to be an issue. He just wants a little more protection. Now I'm like, does he want to bounce? Which would be very sad, man. You know, we have a long-standing love for Russell up here. He's a great dude, good friend of mine. I just would be very sad to see Russell Wilson leave the Hawks.
Now, do you have that? I know you're friends with him, and you know you are part owners of the Sounders together. But do you have that relationship with him where you could call him up and say what's going on, and even potentially broker something mentally for him that he could go to the Seahawks? I'm serious. Like, do you have that sort of relationship, McLemore? If you don't mind me asking.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm putting myself in the broker or anything category, but I do have that level of friendship that I could call him up and see where his head's at. Yeah, I remember when he signed his deal, talking to him. We were doing a Bose commercial and going over the deal that he was trying to get. And yeah, he's someone that we have that type of relationship. I don't know what that's going to change, right. But maybe I could work some of my magic and get him to stay in the Northwest.
It just makes no sense, though. You know, obviously Pete is going to be 70 years old. He acts like he's seven, and he's like the Dick Clark of coaching, right? I mean, so he's going to be a 70-year-old head coach, the oldest in the NFL, which is amazing that I'm actually saying those words about Pete Carroll. But so why would it makes no sense to chase him out or create a situation where Russ isn't comfortable, but there is clearly something that Russ has an issue with. I'm wondering about this concept that I'm hearing a lot about McLemore, and that is that he and Ciara want to maybe go to the East Coast because it would help her music career or his entrepreneurial career. What do you think of that concept?
I don't know. I mean, you know, they got a place down south. They have a plane. I get it. I get the convenience factor of what that might do. I don't know if that's the driving force behind this. I think literally he would like some more protection. I think that the conspiracy theories around Ciara driving this thing are probably false. She's got a very successful career herself. She's able to travel easily and make it work. I just don't think that she's the mastermind behind him leaving the Hawks.
Yeah, I just also don't know if I believe that. Wouldn't that be crazy, McLemore, if eventually, if it is true, that Russell, part of the reason why he wanted out of Seattle is because it's not enough of a music town. That doesn't strike me as making much sense to me either.
No.
Right?
No. I mean, no. I mean, obviously, you get on a plane and you're down in L.A. in 2 hours, 2:20, and particularly, you know, they're flying a PJ. It's quick. It's not a long journey. It's depressing up here. I can't lie. You know, there's times where I'm down in Los Angeles and I'm like, what am I doing with my life again? Why did I choose this? You know, you can leave, but it's magical up here. Definitely Russ feels the magic. And I think that they're going to work it out. I honestly think that he's going to be with the Hawks next year.
I agree with you.
If I had to put money on it.
I agree with you. I just think that sometimes you do need to say stuff publicly. And personally, I think what happened with Brady is just messing with a lot of tremendous Pro Bowl, if not future Hall of Fame quarterbacks' heads. You know, the fact that he knew one way to do it for 20 years and said, screw it, I'm just going to try it one other time with somebody else. And
right.
And he beat everybody, including Aaron Rodgers, that, you know, Russ didn't have the opportunity to take on the Bucks in the playoffs. But I just think that maybe, you know, the way somebody has done something, or I guess in the analogy you just mentioned, maybe Brady is like the sunshine weather of Los Angeles. That makes you sit there and say, maybe I don't need to stay where I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. I mean, Brady is an anomaly. He doesn't make sense. I don't know what he eats. I know that it's nothing that I eat. And he looks like he's 25 years old, and he just keeps getting rings. And for the majority of my adult life, I have hated Tom Brady, mostly hated on him. And obviously a big part of that is the Patriots win over the Seahawks in the Super Bowl when we didn't give it to Marshawn. But this year, I just – when he got the ring again and he was weekend at Bernie's partying, throwing the Super Bowl trophy, I was just like, you know what? Do I actually have a soft spot for Tom Brady? Is this developing right now? Because it feels something's shifting inside of me. I don't like it, but something's shifting. It's I finally become someone that can say, I don't hate Tom Brady. And that's maybe progress. I'm not sure.
Yeah, because when he was stumbling out of the party, like you said, weekend at Bernie's, you know, we've all been that guy. We've also been the guy who's helped a friend out too. But we've all been this might be the most relatable Brady has ever been, even though the numbers and the performance is thoroughly unrelatable to any other human being on the planet. You know?
Yes, Completely. Completely. I finally was like, you know what? I like that guy.
Is it because he's no longer with Belichick, McLemore? What do you think?
I think that that was a huge part of it. You know, that kind of 1-2 evil genius combo, deflate gate leading into, you know, it just always seemed to just kind of have like a little way to finesse the league. And I never like, and they always won. I'm never, unless it's my team, I don't like to see one team just continue to win.
So before I let you go, McLemore, bogeyboys.com is where Bogey Boys is specifically acquired, a golf and lifestyle clothing brand. Have you been part of like the actual design? Like, hey, I want a shirt to look like this. I want the script on the back of one of the shirts to look like that. Is that
I did everything with a designer named Nick Guzman down in LA. We did it together. And I think that anything that I'm going to get into creatively, I want my fingerprints on it. And this was one of those projects that I started and had no idea that it would take a year and a half of my life.
No kidding.
And that it would be 2021 until it came out. And I spent a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of love and put it into it. And my wife was like, what are you doing? When are we going to see any of this cash back? This is, go down in the basement and rap, make us some cash. But, you know, it's been live now for a week, and it's done really, really well. And it's completely exceeded my expectations. I'm really excited about it. I think the clothes turned out great. And it's a labor of love. And when you put something, when you put love into something, it's not about that financial return. It's just about, you know, making something that you enjoy, then the product's usually good. And that's what's happened here. I'm excited about it.
Well, I mean, do they make it for kids? My oldest loves wearing colorful stuff, and he loves wearing it on a golf course too. I think he'd be perfect for him.
I love that. Yeah. My 5-year-old keeps saying, you know, she's in design sessions with me, so we're going to have to get some kid stuff going. So
that'd be great. I mean, it looks different. It really looks different, and it's definitely a choice. You know what I mean? And I think it's just like, you know what? I shoot bogey, and I don't care who the hell knows it. I'm going to have a good time out here, and I'm going to try. And if I'm par or I'm birdie, that's great. But, you know, I back on the bogey train. Who cares? I look good. Did I nail that?
Exactly.
Did I nail it, McLemore?
That's exactly it. No, I'm going to definitely steal all that.
What's mine is yours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a size large. Okay. Very good. Bogeyboys.com is where this fantastic new golf and lifestyle clothing brand can be acquired. It would take me forever to grow that mustache, so I'll just leave that to you. And that'll be that. I appreciate the time.
Thank you so much, brother. Appreciate it. Let's
do this more often. I really enjoyed the chat. I'd love to keep talking sports with you for sure. The very least.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it at McLemore on Twitter and Instagram. Same at Bogey Boys on Instagram. That's McLemore, the Grammy Award winning artist and founder of Bogey Boys, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. My wife says the same thing. Go into the basement and rap and make some money.
Make some money.
Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The police boats have scuba gear on them. They have to. Some of them.
They do?
Yeah.
So
somebody
would have
donned the gear.
Immediately, right?
They would have donned the gear and gone down. 100%. Look,
guys, that would have ended up on an episode of Pawn Stars real quick, all right? So
it was going to break. Slightly rusted Lombardi trophy
yeah. from Tampa.
Is that Tiffany Russ?
Our major domo, Don Bowie, is pointing out in my ear that if it had touched the bottom of the boat, does that become public domain and anybody could have just gone right in there? Was that what Jason Light said when he was on this show? Oh, boy. Wow, anybody could have gone in there.
But 80 feet, you can't just...
No, you got to free dive 80 feet.
You got to have scuba gear.
You got to put scuba gear on.
Yeah? You know about police boats and scuba gear?
Yes, I dove in the Hudson with scuba gear on.
What? Get out of here.
Brought up a dead body from a truck that went off the end of a pier.
What just happened? We just took a turn.
When I was 16 years old, no joke, with two other guys. Yes.
What are you doing working for a police department?
I was a Sea Scout, and our boat was docked on the end of a dock. A van went off, a guy either committed suicide, and we brought the body up. And it was the most disgusting thing I've ever done in my life in the water of the Hudson.
Oh, so you've done more disgusting things outside of the water of the Hudson. I don't want to know about that.
The Hudson River, you can't see a foot.
I mean, the layers of Del Tufo is a great fantasy team name.
You can't see a foot in front of you.
The layers of Del Tufo.
Yeah, we docked.
Oh, gosh.
And there was a boat there, and they're like,
oh, no, there were enough. Yeah,
it was nuts.
Like, wait, we're done.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Oh, I'm writing down layers.
Have you named your boat yet?
I think it's going to be, Mama,
is this news break? Is this might be,
I think Mama D, because my mother.
Okay.
That's great.
But then it's not Two Pump Chump, the fishing boats.
Yes, it's the, what is the exact opposite of Two Pump Chump? Would be naming it after your beautiful late mother.
Because, I mean, you guys, if you guys got boats, you could say A-hole. I mean, that would
no,
be perfect.
No, hey,
no,
hey,
whoa, easy, whoa. No, I mean, it's I think Mama D.
Can I get to the rest of the news? Like,
I'm sorry, take control of your newscast.
What a hijacking that just went on.
I have the perfect name for Mike's boat.
Oh, okay. Yes. What is it?
Oh, God.
Yes.
It's the Broken Emmy.
Yes. Yes!
Come on, Mike.
Yes! The Broken
Emmy. Just Broken Emmy. You don't want the...
Okay, Broken Emmy. That's
broken
it.
Broken Emmy. And I could put a picture of an Emmy in half. Like,
Jim,
good job.
Jim, yeah.
I like that.
That's very distinctive, and it's knowledgeable of his ex-wife being so angry, she threw one of his Emmys at him.
Yeah, good, but,
exactly. And then it's also a conversation piece because then they're like, what's the Broken Emmy? Well, I have an Emmy, and it was thrown at me, and it broke, but I've got others.
But I've got others. Jim in Florida. Round of applause for Jim in Florida. Well done, everybody.
Yeah,
Thank you for the call. Now, I have to ask this, though. I'm not a boat owner. I never will be one, okay?
I could see. Never. Could park next
to me.
It's
tough enough to run this show, let alone keep up a boat, all right?
Please. I just paid a lot.
Three children at home. You got to be out of your mind.
It's nuts.
All right. So listen to me. Is it a problem to name something broken? No.
Oh.
I mean.
Right. Is it bad luck?
If it said like broken propeller or broken rudder, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, then it's
okay. Broken Emmy. Okay.
People have some great names. Like my favorite's Corporate Headquarters. That's like a 60-foot yacht this guy has.
Well, I mean,
oh my God.
Boat's got to be big enough to fit that many letters. That's like the Roethlisberger of jerseys.
Yeah, I mean.
That's like the Gilgis Alexander of boats, right?
Nice.
I mean, that's like the arch. He should have played in St. Louis. Because it looks like an arch on his back, right?
But it's that. Mama D.
Mama D.
Because then I get the multiple boats, I can always go 1, 2, 3. I can add just
multiple.
One.
Multiple boats.
I mean, I'm getting a fleet. Nice. I want a fleet when I die.
Multiple boats has been called. Oh, there it is.
The
just name it already boat. Hey, look at Liz.
Liz is in there.
Look at Liz on the boat.
This is amazing.
Fantastic. Well done. He's just rooting for the entire sports world. And unfortunately for him, last few years, Duke is the only one covering a base for him. Right?
Maybe I just love sports more than the rest of you. You ever think about that?
You kind of clap back at me about, well, Jameis won for Florida State. Okay,
true.
Got it. Right? And you're like, because what brought up was your fist pumping for Georgetown. That's when we had Clark Kellogg on yesterday saying that he thinks that they're going to outplay their 12 seed. And so the reason why I think many people were in support of you is the way that we termed the video and we tweeted it out at Rich Eisen Show is like, do you know somebody who likes 10 teams, swears they're a diehard of all of them? And I think the answer is yes. A lot of people know that person.
Or maybe it's not as weird as you guys try to make it out.
Chris, it is weird, right?
It's super weird, man.
Why is that weird?
Because you're from a state that has teams in every sport, multiple. That's
okay.
Why
and who's my favorite basketball team?
That's
the team that's in the state,
Philly.
Correct?
But that's one out of 10. That's 10%
of
your team.
And who's my favorite hockey team? The team that's in the state. Who's my favorite college football team? The team that's in the state.
Right. That's what you normally.
Okay. So
now,
there's
normally
three.
When you state that, that's all
that's
you.
It.
That's all you got.
That's the end of the list.
You're done.
That's three sports right there.
No, but what I'm saying is you've added Florida State to the football part of
Duke.
Penn State.
Okay,
you
so
then you added Duke.
Yes.
Then you added Duke to your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add to the portfolio the Clippers.
Yeah, because I live in Los Angeles. So, again, a state or a city that I live in and a team that I root for, and yet nobody gives me credit for that. Like, this argument is so weird. I've been having this argument my entire life, and it really irks the heck out of me. Just because you're from a little – so if that was the case, then everyone, the city, the little hut that you were born in, you stay there, you marry your third cousin, and then you just keep repopulating, and you should never leave your city, you should never leave your state, and you should just live there and like what's in front of you.
None of us live. We're in the state that we're from, but we still root for those teams.
We're all carpet.
First of all, you're not even from you're from Alaska. So
I'm actually from Pennsylvania.
All right, then. So you fall into this category. Is your favorite team the Pirates? No, it's the Red Sox.
No, hold on a
were
second.
Were you born in Boston?
No. As your point is though, is that everyone has a journey. I mean, he's a military brat, right? I mean, you're a Coast Guard. Son of a Coast Guard.
I moved to Maine in the early 90s.
He moved all over the place.
He's a Boston guy.
But he still decided one town that he got to, you know, he's just going to stick with one town.
Mm-hmm.
You have now, like I moved to Los Angeles in 03. I think my reputation of despising the owner of the New York Knicks is now well known to the point where it's become a couple of times difficult for Liz Wald of the Rich Eisen Show operation, who handles celebrity bookings. It's even come down to like, hey, are you going to bring up Dolan to this Knick fan that's coming on to talk about his or her movie or TV show? Because
Look, Rich, we don't want to lose
they kind of
got,
you know, like, exactly. Like, so my reputation is now even affecting on occasion the booking of the show. I moved out here. I'll take my kids to a Laker and Clipper game, but I'm not going to adopt one of them as my emotional capital sports teams. You know, like I don't know. That's why we're different.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're weird. You think I'm clearly touching a nerve with you with your mention of, I don't know where third cousin came
from.
It's the whole point of like, if you're
like,
from
like
this,
somebody's provincial love.
If you're from here, then you got to root for this team. That argument
that
just never set.
Seinfeld's joke has always been that fans root for the laundry. You know what I mean? Like they don't root for the player. They just root for the laundry. Sports is provincial. I mean, that's it. Like you're talking about our hometown team that goes out and represents the city in a way that makes you puff out your chest because we are a champion. We know how to get it done. We know how to compete. We know how to win. We know how to be better than you. And so you now are saying, correct, but I kind of think the same thing about this town too that I've just moved into.
Right. Our issue isn't with you kind of cherry picking, you know, not where you're from. That's totally fine. Our issue is like three teams per sport.
Really?
Not that you live in.
I realize that math isn't your strong suit, but I don't know. Not one of those sports where there were three teams. So
college teams.
Both college teams, because you know you did pick two basketball schools and two football schools. That what they'd be known as.
Okay.
You
know so mean? Where's the third?
No. But technically, that's three. I mean, four is more
Duke,
than
Florida
three.
Florida State, Penn State. That's three. One, two, three.
You know what I mean?
Those are two different sports.
Yeah, but see, but what happens if Duke actually has a great football team? You're gonna
see,
root for
I'm not gonna root for Duke football. No. Hey, you know, here's the other thing I think. Here's another thing that annoys me about this. Here's another thing that annoys me about this. It's like I'm someone who, like Michael Smith said yesterday, yes. and I'm sure there are many fans like this. You find a moment, you find a person that yes. draws you to that team, that attracts you to the team, that makes you want to root for that team. All right. The thing is, this dude on Twitter yesterday said, oh, fair weather fan. First of all, jabroni, none of those teams have won anything recently. You know, so I don't know where you're getting the fair.
He's probably living in a hut with his third cousin.
I don't know where the fair weather thing comes
TJ,
in.
No,
and
no,
secondly,
no.
that shows another thing. That shows, one, that I'm loyal, and two, that That's I true. Don't leave a team that when times get hard, that I stick with them.
That's
so,
true.
This
That's
is normal, true. TJ. I don't have a college football team. I have a basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
I like what do you mean you don't have a college football team?
Mike, what are you talking about?
You talk to me about
Seton
Hall. Notre Dame is
Seton Hall doesn't have a college football team.
Right.
I leave. I then can make allegiance.
Yes, you have
to
a carve out.
Team.
You've got a carve out.
Exactly.
In your contract.
My
You've got
sister
a carve
goes out. To Notre Dame in the 70s. I become with my father and my family Notre Dame.
Yes.
My nephew goes. I now love Notre Dame. I'm allowed to like Notre Dame for that reason. If Seton Hall had a football team and I graduated from Seton Hall, you'd make fun of me. You'd all make fun of me because I didn't cheer for my football team. But at the end of the day, I've been a Yankees fan.
Mm-hmm.
I've been no football team fan in my life until the Rams, which I officially have taken on, good and bad.
Because you're paying.
Exactly. And I'm a Notre Dame, and I'm a Seton Hall fan. At the end of the day, those are my four teams. If you start picking, I like this team because they were good in this. Like, I was a Mets fan for a day when I watched them win the World Series in 1986.
And you created the K-Corner.
After I created the K-Corner. But that's you're allowed to do that, in theory.
Just imagine if I was a Lakers fan, a Red Sox fan, a Patriots fan, a fan of a teams that all won. Then that would be a conversation
no,
worth
the difference.
Having.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference. And then here's the difference, okay? Let me just put a fine point on this. I'm not calling you lame.
Well, no, you never said that, because I'm not.
No, I'm not calling you a lame sports fan or a weak sports fan or a fair weather sports fan. I'm calling you weird.
Yeah,
you're weird.
Yeah.
I'll accept
you're
that.
Weird. You're weird. You're
we're
weird.
We're not making fun of you. We just think it's strange.
That's
you know
that's fine.
Exactly
yeah,
right.
Fine, you know?
Exactly
yeah, yeah, yeah.
right. And you know, like I can always.
But you are diehard for all of those
you
teams,
are.
Which
you
is.
Are.
Which, you know, is deserving of respect. We respect you for that.
Yes, I do respect you yeah. for that.
You could have just said this for yesterday
now.
For like 30 seconds and we wouldn't have to
no.
gone down
but
this path.
It's just weird. So,
of making me call do the jabroni on TV.
Florida State versus Penn State for the national championship. What happens?
In football?
Yeah.
Penn State.
Okay. Duke versus Georgetown. Who wins?
Who am I rooting for?
Yeah.
Hoya. Paranoia.
Okay, so then we're finding out who's
yeah, like,
the pecking
like
order.
Clippers Sixers
yeah,
in the finals.
Yeah, what happens? Yeah. Which, by the way, could really happen this year.
Okay, I've had to answer this question a lot. Here's what happens. I'm rooting for a 7-game series.
Stop it.
From now on,
that's it.
It's all about
the Larry O.B. Because one of my teams is going to win.
So
even when I lose, I win.
So who are you rooting for?
I don't know that one, man. That one's tough.
Boy, and that is gives you again two windows into my points, and then we'll finish it here. Two windows into my points. One, weird. Okay, weird.
It's weird until it
guy
happens.
Guy from Pennsylvania who loves Dr. J and loves the Sixers and loves all of that
mm-hmm.
is totally taken
torn.
Yeah. By of all teams. Clippers.
If you guys knew.
Weird.
The amount of time I spent
weird.
In Staples Center.
And two, I don't have the emotional capital. I would rather just root for one team, and if they make it, it's the ultimate thing. It's the greatest thing of all time. I don't want, I can't. It's just, I don't have that space. I don't have the space.
I got enough room to take them all on, man. My emotions are open.